and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Police have arrested a 28-year-old in the killings of an Arkansas couple in Devil's Den State Park. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Clinton and Kristen Brink were hiking with their two daughters, ages 7 and 9, about 170 miles northwest of Little Rock when they were fatally attacked. The sisters escaped to the visitor center unharmed.
South Korea, the latest country to reach a deal with the Trump administration before the president's higher tariffs kick in tomorrow. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Now it seems that we're settling at a 15% tariff rate with some, I would say, hazy details on how those countries will be investing in the United States, different for each country.
An 8-year-old and his mother among at least 7 people killed in a Russian drone and missile attack on Kyiv. The BBC's Jonathan Beal is in the Ukrainian capital.
More than 300 drones were fired, 8 missiles, most of those shot down by Ukraine's air defenses.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The poor air quality of yesterday continues into today. Primary pollutants in the air are at an unhealthy level due to wildfire smoke across much of central Wisconsin. The National Weather Service says the air quality index is expected to continue at unhealthy levels through Thursday. By Friday, they're predicting levels will drop to unhealthy for sensitive groups. For now, everyone is advised to keep outdoor activities shorter and less intense. Go inside if you have symptoms. Sensitive groups should consider moving all activities inside. State lawmakers hope Governor Tony Evers signs a bill to assist gig workers. Joanne Krulantz reports.
The measure aims to provide access to portable benefits like health insurance, retirement savings, and income replacement for people working in the app-based delivery and transportation industries, but who don't work enough hours to get them. Republican Senator Julian Bradley of New Berlin joined gig workers at the Capitol Tuesday to promote the measure. Bradley said Wisconsin can achieve meaningful reform if the bill becomes law. Democratic Representative Sylvia Ortiz-Velez of Milwaukee said it would be a tragedy if people dropped out of the gig economy because they can't obtain benefits. The portable benefits bill passed the concluded legislative session with bipartisan support. Evers' office did not respond to a request on whether he'll sign it into law.
Health officials monitor beach conditions regularly throughout the summer season. Currently, most beaches in our area have a safe rating, though one is closed in Marathon County. Mission Lake County Park Beach is closed due to a sewage spill on the west side of the beach. It is not safe for swimming. You can check conditions of lakes before you swim on the DNR website. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
The Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay at the Packers training camp, where the defense has set a goal to force more turnovers. When the Packers recover at least one fumble, they've won 30 of their last 38 games. Baseball. The Brewers head to Washington to face the Nationals tomorrow night. The Brewers got blitzed by the Cubs 10-3. Chicago All-Star Pete Crow Armstrong once dyed his hair blue at the start of spring training yesterday. He was 3-of-4 with 2 doubles, scored a pair of runs, and 1 RBI, including a hot grounder that got past second baseman Bryce Terang, Pat Murphy.
I mean, that kid, the blue-haired kid, hits the ball really hard, and it was hit really hard. I've seen Bryce make great plays. I don't know if he could make that one. He's been the best defender in the game, and now every time he doesn't make a play or everything, you know, it's like, he's human. The blue-haired kid was, we had him down 2 strikes most of the time, and then he just, you know, did a good job of putting it in play after that.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy, with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today with a little more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires. Our high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We'll drop to the upper 40s to low 50s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 55.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jim Santel, friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, will be here as we continue to break down the Epstein story and all things sports with Paul Noonan.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, welcome back. Good morning. It is 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Thursday morning, last day of July, July 31st, 2025. This hour, we're going to be talking to Sean O'Malley about your money and the markets and the latest economic news, creating an economic picture that is as hazy as the skies of Wisconsin right now with all that wildfire smoke. It is tough to get a read on what exactly is happening right now, other than that the economy is kind of smoky, kind of sluggish, the way that we're all feeling right now. We'll talk to Chad Holmes. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki. All that coming up. First, meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to talk about the smoke and the haze and, you know, it's nice not to be rainy anymore, but we can't seem to buy that perfect day, you know, of sunny skies, not too hot and not too smoky. The quest for the Goldilocks weather goes on.
It still does. I wish I could just push a button and deliver that for everyone, but
we do too. You know,
it's one or the other. We're getting far and few between perfect summer days. You know, either the humidity's cranked up, we're getting showers and thunderstorms, or some wildfire smoke, and that's the day today, and some of that could linger still through tomorrow. So right now, air quality, unhealthy statewide, very unhealthy into areas of Appleton, Green Bay, Door County, the Northeast, Northwoods, north of Wausau. It is getting worse by the minute there. It's kind of seeping down the lakeshore a little bit, so right now, you know, I'd suggest staying indoors, taking it easy, don't overexert yourself, stuff like that. We're all feeling the symptoms, whether you're healthy or not. It's kind of affecting a lot of people. This is going to stick here today pretty thick. It does want to start to move north and west slowly late tonight. So areas of Milwaukee, Madison, you should see some relief hopefully by tomorrow. But the rest of the state, it still wants to linger. Maybe through the morning, gone by the afternoon is my hopes, but we are still stuck with this cloud of wildfire smoke. And there's a ton of wildfires up north and out west. And of course, today we've got the high pressure. Unfortunately, that is the reason why this is here. It kind of settles the air, brings it down to the surface, and this dry stretch sticks with us. We are looking dry today, tomorrow, into the weekend. Really, chances of rain are only minimal on Monday and Tuesday into next week. Before that, we still have to battle some big waves on Lake Michigan today. It is breezy down by Milwaukee, gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Those waves are climbing 4 to 6 feet, so some dangerous currents out there, but comfortable. Low to mid-70s statewide today, mid to upper 70s across the state tomorrow and through the rest of the weekend.
And from Tom in Jackson on the text line, he simply says, how much rain yesterday? Well, zero up here in Chippewa Falls. I don't know anybody else's, but it was a goodly amount that fell throughout a big course of the day in the southern half of Wisconsin.
Yeah, there definitely was. You know, I didn't look at totals either, but when I was tracking it yesterday, it was putting down at least a good half an inch to an inch in places.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tony up in Ashland says, just give me my 15 below zero weather. All this mowing is ridiculous. Well, Tony, you got to call Robin Tigerton. Have him come up and do the mowing for you up there in Ashland. Problem solved. You're welcome. So, thank you, Brittany. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. Hey, coming up tomorrow on the program, right at this very moment, after Brittany's all done with her 8 o'clock weather, we will be talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. She is a candidate for governor, and we'll be talking all about her decision to run, the career path that took her to this point, and where she would like to take Wisconsin if she is elected as next governor of the state next year. So again, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, tomorrow at this time, here on these mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Chad Holmes is here now from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. How are you doing?
Doing terrific. How about you?
Doing okay. Again, this haze is a little weird. You try to rise above it and say, look, it's just you can't do anything about it. But it really does, take a little, it takes a little something off your fastball.
You're right. No, you're exactly right.
And when it goes, when it
this
goes
morning,
on.
This has been the best morning of the week. I know we still have the haze, but temperature-wise, it
yes.
is. I love these kind of mornings when you come into work where you have that coolness in the air. I mean, when I walked out the door this morning, it was a little surprising because I had not been used to it. It had been so warm and humid for the last number of days. Boy, it makes you – it gets a little – you may get a little bit more on the fastball when you feel the temperature a little bit cooler
yes.
like it was today.
Yeah. What have you been following? You've had such interesting guests lately, and I want to give you a chance to talk because, again, for folks that aren't aware, I think most of you are by now, but we do have these local breaks at 720, 750, 820, 850 for some, not all of our stations, to do a little local update, get a little local news, a little local interview. We've talked to Earl Ingram about his podcast, James Kelly and Jimmy Cusk about stories they're following, and I always see you posting on Facebook about some of the guests and topics that you're doing over there in Wausau, so that if folks can't get it over the air on the radio, they can get you through the Civic Media app. So tell us what you've been doing.
You know, what I am trying to do here, and it's kind of odd that we're coming up. I mean, I've been actually tomorrow is the third anniversary of Civic Media taking over WXCO. It's August the 1st of 2022 at 12 midnight. So it was, I still remember the folks from, it was a very small operation back then, but coming up here to try to get everything turned over so the programming would be ready to roll. Were you on August the 1st of 2022 yet, or was it after that?
It was about that time, because the original show was 8 to 11 a.m., and I believe it took place on that day, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because, I mean, and you has probably been around it in broadcasting when you have major changes like that where you have to get a lot of new equipment to get all the programming in. So obviously that was very, very hectic that day. But one thing that Civic Media continues to do, and one thing that I'm trying to do, is to continue to evolve and try to have that right mixture. And I'm having a mixture, basically, of talking about a lot of interesting people, and I think a lot of interesting stories, and also trying to, be a little bit, I don't know, for lack of a better term, edgy at times with some of my opinions.
Spicy. Spicy is the way that Tony puts it. Hey, so, look what I found. I found it here. We kick off August 1st, 2022, episode 1. By comparison, where are we at today on shows? Oh, Lordy, I've lost it already. Because we've been doing this for a good
this
long
is
time.
Show number 613.
613. So August 1 was show number 1, 2022. It says, we kick off our brand new radio show with Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. And yes, we talk about how hard the goats are working to clear invasive species out of a city park. We get into PFAS contamination and her early endorsement of Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes for Senate and the highs and lows of being mayor. We also talk to Nancy Stensel about Marathon County's new threat to groundwater, and it's part of a lawsuit. There's also a lawsuit about Tom Tiffany, Scott Fitzgerald, and Ron Johnson. Should they be booted off the ballot for supporting insurrectionists? So we've been topical, Chad, you and I, since day one when we started this thing.
Yeah, some things stay the same and some things change. And you were talking to our mayor 3 years ago, and I'll be in the next local segment talking a little bit more about our mayor right now, Doug Denny. And I am frustrated with this whole process. And I don't know, maybe I'm being unfair. I know that that sometimes justice takes time, but at the same time, this was in broad daylight. I don't understand what the Wisconsin Department of Justice is doing that takes this long. This week we had a meeting with the Wausau Ethics Board. Their investigation has closed, but now they have the hearing, and they're going to have a hearing coming up. And one of the things that's frustrating to me is they're going to be forced to subpoena a few folks that are public servants in order to get the relevant communication between themselves and the mayor during that time frame last September when he put on the hard hat, he put on the vest, and went out there with a camera and removed a Dropbox.
Right.
And I mean, this is not a case where, boy, we got to find out who did what
here. It's such a mystery. Yeah, yeah.
But
no.
The thing that really frustrates me, and I don't know, maybe I'm off, and you can tell me I'm off on this, but we have a number of folks that are, I would say, public officials who are refusing to share communications and documents with the mayor during this time frame, saying that it's too broad. Or if you ask me specifically, I can be able to help you in this way. The chairperson of
the... So they're trying to get around open records, is what you're saying.
Yeah, the chairman of the ethics board said a couple of them sound like they came from the same folks in terms of the writing of it, that maybe a lawyer was involved in it.
Yeah.
But beyond all of that, the thing, I mentioned this yesterday, the idea that you are a public servant and you're trying to play these little games. Oh, it's too broad. If you ask me specifically, then I'll be able to help you.
Oh, yeah, delay. They're learning from Trump.
But no, the thing that really annoys me about this is that as a public servant, you should be stepping forward with any information to make this system work, right? Not playing games to try to play in a whack-a-mole here. Oh, you missed me. That's frustrating to me.
Well, it should be because you're essentially an accessory at that point. You're helping somebody get away with something, which is exactly what you would say to all of the Trump apologists out there that are running roughshod over the rule of law. Is they're not just being good foot soldiers to Trump. No, they're being accomplices. And why wouldn't you want to get to the bottom of something where, yeah, somebody you would normally support is doing something wrong, and you should be willing to call that out? And we've seen a real abandonment of that American value lately.
Of good government. Mm-hmm. I mean, another example, this is nationally yesterday, I'm sure you saw the state of Texas pushing forward.
Oh,
this,
yeah, with the gerrymandered mess.
Yep. Gerrymander. And it's all so blatant now. Donald Trump says, I mean, Donald Trump, say what you will, the guy is incapable of hiding his crimes.
Right.
I mean, he just talks about, yeah, this will be great for the Republicans. This will keep the Republicans in power. Again, it's like the idea of good government is so passe now. And now we're forced into a situation where Democrats are forced to say, well, you have to fight fire with fire. And frankly, I don't see how you can't. If one side is not going to acknowledge or going to play the rules differently than you do, it's a terrible spot to be in my
opinion. It's exactly what I said on Todd's show yesterday. He asked about this Texas map situation. And I said, this is very difficult for me to say, but I can no longer in good conscience tell people in New York or California, oh, no, you shouldn't do that because, two wrongs don't make a right. But now it's more like, don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. You're in something now with people who are so dismissive of the rule of law and fairness that you have to look at the full level of options, before you. And while I would not be the one to initiate that bill in California, New York, or some other deep blue state to say, you know what, we're going to reconfigure too just to maintain balance. I might not be the one to introduce the bill, but I could no longer say I would vote against it.
And unfortunately, and I was reading a story on this, that the rules in New York and California make it more difficult to blatantly do a political gerrymander than it is in Texas.
I wonder why that might be. Yeah.
Doesn't that say a lot in itself?
Yes, it says a lot about values and where they are strongest and where they are more antithetical to, the freedom that they love to talk about but don't really want for everybody. Chad Holmes has all this and more in his segments on 98.9 WXCO. Catch him there and on the Civic Media app. Follow him on Facebook as well. Chad, thank you so much as always. We'll talk to you again later.
You bet.
All right. Have a great day. Coming up next, well, some of you are going to get a local update, and then when we're all back together in our next half hour, we will get some news from the economy with the opening bell from Sean O'Malley and then Joe Zepecki, all coming up here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Upgrade your learning experience during Dell Technologies Back to School event with AI PCs like the Dell 14 Plus featuring an Intel Core Ultra processor starting at $749.99. Supercharge your studies with features like real-time notes transcription, AI-accelerated hardware to run multiple apps without slowing down, extended battery life, and more. That's the power of new AI PCs with Intel inside. Discover a smarter way to learn at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. A doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids.
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. DoorWorks for the win.
Hi, I'm Ashley, a certified radio digital executive. With decades of experience working with small businesses and owning my own, does digital marketing make you feel overwhelmed? Sometimes there are so many choices and packages to choose from. You could just sign up for everything and the kitchen sink. But there's a better way. Call me at 715-496-0710, and I can build the perfect package for your business.
Thursday, July 31st at 6:35 is Healthcare Appreciation Night with the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. On this Thirsty Thursday, we partner with Aspirus Health to recognize our healthcare heroes. The first 750 fans through the gates will receive a Coach Ziggy bobblehead presented by Aspirus Health. Take yourself out to the ballgame at historic Winter Field in Wisconsin Rapids for Rafters Baseball and Aspirus Healthcare.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this July 30th, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by Officer Matt McHugh from the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department. We're going to talk about National Night Out coming up on the 6th of August over at beautiful Winter Field. Matt, one of the more important questions I'm going to ask you, did I get your last name right?
Yeah, you did, James.
Okay,
it's
all right.
McHugh. Yeah,
all right,
you're good.
We can mark that down, Pam. We can do that. Good to meet you, man. Thanks so much for being in. We appreciate the time, as always, and any chance to talk about an event like this one, we're looking forward to. Let's get into the details of 2025 National Night Out. This is a police and community partnership event that we're really looking forward to, and it's going over at one of our favorite spots, Winterfield.
Absolutely. We look forward to this event every year. Last year was the first year we had this at Winterfield, and it's great because it allows for more space for us to have vendors and community partners come in. It's a great event for all ages, and it really supports community police partnerships. It shows that we're, you know, approachable in the community, and that's exactly the kind of image we want to portray too. But not just the police department, the fire department, EMS, and then local businesses giving back as well. So it's a pretty great event, and we look forward to it every single year.
I know one of the things that is fun for these events, and we just had this with the Family Center and our Touch a Truck event, is the kids being able to see these vehicles and kind of look at them and check them out and stuff. So they'll be able to do a little of that.
Absolutely. A lot of people really don't know what the inside of a squad car mm-hmm. looks like, and that gives everyone a great opportunity to do that. All ages are welcome too, adults as well too. It's just a great informational session to show people around and show what our equipment actually looks like on the inside. And we're always happy to show anybody that has any questions.
We're going to have some fun activities down there too for everybody.
Absolutely. We have balloon animals. We're going to have face painting this year. a lot of fun activities.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, those are always great. And the people that you run those are great as well. And they're very good at what they do. We know because they're at every event that we always try to get them into these. They're great people. That's going to be fun. That part is great. And again, the space to do this, too, at Winterfield. That's fantastic. There's going to be ballpark food as well. That one of the greatest things about baseball, about going to a baseball field, is the food. And we're going to make sure that that's there for everyone.
Absolutely. Nothing beats that classic smell of brats or hot dogs or
nothing
going
like
to
it.
Miller Park. You know, it's like the same atmosphere. You got to love it.
And attending this event, you'll receive a free ticket to the Raptors game right afterwards. That's a really cool part of this, I think.
Yeah, Gamber Johnson is a big sponsor of this event, and they are extremely nice enough to provide those tickets prior to the game. It's a 6:35 p.m. first pitch against Fond du Lac.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Who we've been playing well this season. So that's going to be a good game. And I know that we're the home of the Raptor baseball here at WFHR and stuff. And we know that the season hasn't been as great as we may have wanted it. That's why every game matters. And we get a win. That's going to be great. It's going to be a good fun time and take in all these games that we can as the summer's wrapping up. You know, with an event like this, National Night Out, we've talked about it for many years here on the Rapids Report, and a shout out to everybody that we've talked to in the past and enjoyed this conversation. One of the things that I think that I enjoy about this topic is us having an open opportunity to talk about, you know, what this is. There are plenty of times in life where especially growing up, there were different events that had really good meanings behind them. But I feel like there was the event itself, but this meaning was kind of like almost a hidden meaning or something along those lines. This is really up and out in the open and very honest about what this event is really. The meaning behind this event is, Matt, it's really about building that bridge, making that bridge stronger between community and law enforcement or EMTs or our firefighters or any of the above. The more we can do that and the more it is that much normal, more normal for a kid to see this, and they're much more likely to talk to and reach out to when they need help.
And that's exactly what we want to portray too. As I mentioned earlier, we want to be approachable in the community. We want to be partners with the community. Kind of going off on a tangent on this, you know, working patrol, we will see people having lemonade stands, little kids and lemonade stands. I try to stop out every single opportunity I have to do something like that just because, you know, we want to make sure that people can come to us and ask for help. And when we open up that dialogue and that conversation with people and explain just, hey, we're people too, right? We're just working in the community to make it a better place. That's very important. And building those bridges, like you said, is always, always a very important goal for us. And whether that's community partners, residents of Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding area, we want to make sure that we do that every single time.
With these businesses, we're talking about businesses, the police department, sheriff department, fire department, EMTs, you touched on something really important there, I think, where so many kids grow up and they don't have experiences with these and don't know them and everything. And when you don't know something, you're a little afraid. That's just human instinct. That's just the way it works. So building that bridge for them, those individuals, is wonderful. Among other things, you just don't know the spark it might start too, where I'm a little kid, and before all of this, I wanted to be a firefighter. We had a field trip at the Chicago Fire Department, and I fell in love, man. I wanted to do this. This was the coolest job in the world to me. You don't know what sparks could start there for a child, and every one of these great businesses and groups really deserve that. They need more and more good people in there and stuff, so that's a great win-win right there. There's the other side, too, of this, of individuals that have experiences with these different groups, these different things, for maybe not the greatest reasons. I know that I've touched on this before in my family and our past, and we're all on the right side of the tracks now and everything, but it didn't start out that way. And when I was a little kid, having some negative experiences got me as a teenager and as an adult to be a little hesitant to reach out when my family or I needed help. And that has changed and grown since then, of course, and everything. And I've talked with Sheriff Becker about this a lot over the years. But that's something that It took me being away from here and coming back to really understand some of those things. It took me having kids to understand those things. We don't want it to take that. We want to build those bridges right now. And there is no getting around that our society is better and stronger when our kids feel safer. There's just no getting around that. And I think the job of all adults, whether you're in law enforcement or not, is to make that happen, is to make that, whether you have kids or not, whether your kids are like mine and then they're 20s and all that and don't even need you anymore or anything, that's a good thing to do. This event really helps make that happen. This event is a really big part of that.
And I agree with you.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin officially gets a new Supreme Court justice tomorrow, Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Susan Crawford will be sworn in as Justice Ann Walsh Bradley's term ends. Crawford won against Brad Schimmel in the most expensive state Supreme Court race in American history. It was seen by many analysts as a referendum on the early actions of President Donald Trump's new administration and Elon Musk, who poured millions into the race for Schimmel. The court will still have a 4-3 liberal majority after she's sworn in. Former Dane County Judge Jill Karofsky is now the Chief Justice on the state's high court. Crawford's swearing in is tomorrow at 4:30.
Next year, Justice Rebecca Bradley is up for re-election. She's one of the court's three conservative justices. Democrat Chris Taylor has already announced she's running for the seat. If Taylor wins next year, that would mean the court has a 5-2 majority. If Bradley wins, the court will maintain its 4-3 liberal majority. A meeting took place last week in Adams County to hear from residents about a possible solar farm in the area. Town Board Chair Carl Hansdahl said the meeting was specifically for the people living near where the planned NextEra Akron Solar Project is projected to be built.
For the residents, explaining what we know and what we don't know, and then getting their opinions.
According to Hasdahl, at the previous meetings run by NextEra Akron, residents were not allowed to speak, only submit written questions. Hasdahl said residents who spoke at this meeting were against the solar farm project. There was a representative there from NextEra Energy Resources. However, Hasdahl said the meeting was for resident comments only.
I told the folks, this is your meeting, you get to speak, he doesn't.
The town has formed an ad hoc committee and is meeting to decide their next steps. Find more news and sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. As fun as superhero and big franchise films can be, it's refreshing when some critically acclaimed films hit the big screen, especially a comedy. The Naked Gun is the much-anticipated remake of the native Wisconsin Zucker Brothers classic. The film stars Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson. Without having seen the movie, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it appears for once that Liam Neeson will not kill a bunch of people who mess with his family. But if he does continue the tradition, it should be hilarious. The comedy is pulling an incredibly impressive 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. To clarify, yes, a comedy is actually playing on the big screen this weekend, and critics love it. Savor this moment, people. The Bad Guys 2 follows your favorite felons as they try to reform themselves, but wouldn't you know it, and darn the luck, they get pulled into another caper, but this time by bad girls. I should mention this is a family film. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today with a little more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires. Our high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, clear, will drop to the upper 40s to low 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 56.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's a Civic Media All-Star Show as sports director Jimmy Cuska joins me to make the popcorn pick of the week. And then Matt and Aaron Ayers, Greg Bach joins the show to talk comedy and movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network with all kinds of outlets in many states, all kinds of newsletters, video series, and more. One of our newest newsletters is Below the Beltway from Cam Stevenson, Courier Newsroom's new Capitol Hill correspondent. You can get it on Substack at beltway.news or at couriernewsroom.com. Joe Zepecki is standing by. First couple of final moments here with Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets. Wall Street, the markets have been open for 5-6 minutes now and opening very slightly mixed. And mixed is really the way that we're kind of looking at the economic news here, Sean, from the New York Times story yesterday about this mixed bag. Many forecasters expect a further deterioration in the months ahead as tariffs work their way through the supply chain, the federal job cuts filter through the economy, and stricter immigration policies take a toll on industries that rely on foreign-born workers. And so that's really why we're saying it's not the glass is half empty or half full. It's that we don't really know what's even in the glass yet, I think.
Well, that's true, Pat. But we're seeing, you know, the American consumer is not stupid. Consumer confidence, which was at an all-time low last month, went up a little bit, but it's still at 97.2, which is well below the 100 mark. And above 100, that means, you know, people are optimistic. 97.2, people are not optimistic. That's number one. Number two, we're looking at some of the impacts of that that were described in that New York Times article already forecast. Now, we know tomorrow morning we're going to get a non-farm payroll number. Right now, the expectations are between 110 and 120,000 jobs. That is extremely low. We have seen it sort of limping by between the 100 to 150 range every month, you know, previous to this this year. But this is the lowest that we've seen forecast-wise, and we are seeing also an expectation for unemployment to start ticking up. And as we talked about earlier with more specific example of Ford, we're seeing the impact of the tariffs starting to hit profits. So there are a lot of unknowns. The Fed seems to be taking prudent action by not cutting interest rates, but there's not a lot to cheer about. There's a lot to keep watching for, unfortunately.
So again, no participation trophy for President Trump for not crashing the economy, simply taking what had been the strongest recovery post-pandemic and taking us into the muck, which is where we, you know, we're still waiting to see what direction we go in the muck. Sean O'Malley, thanks so much as always. Hopefully you can get out on the boat soon. Have a good week and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you much.
All right. Let's bring in Joe Zepecki now at 8:38 to talk about the week in politics in Wisconsin here and other stories. And Joe, I guess I'm going to be the first to claim that I was surprised. I would not have been surprised to see half a dozen people announce since last Thursday afternoon when Governor Evers said he wasn't running for governor, announce their own campaigns for governor. That's not to say that we won't get a half a dozen or more candidates coming in. But I was wrong. I thought a few others were like prepping and were going to want to be one of the first ones to get into the race. What was your impression?
Well, I want to talk about this from the very like political operative standpoint.
Sure.
Which is once somebody has first mover advantage, what's the rush? Right. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez was ready to go. And by the way, I tip my cap to her and her team for being ready. Right. They have made clear, the governor has made clear, she didn't have any forewarning. She didn't have any, you know, super secret heads up about this, but she knew this was a binary reality. The governor was going to run for re-election or he wasn't. And if he wasn't going to run for re-election, which is ultimately what he chose, she was going to run for governor. And so she and her team were ready to go. Once that has flown, right, and somebody is the first mover, for the second candidate, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, however many it ends up becoming, there becomes less of a ticking clock of you have to get in. And I think the calculus becomes more, you want to get in the best way you can with all of the ducks that you can possibly get in a row lined up and tidied up. And I offer that as someone who was part of a gubernatorial campaign that launched in the first half of October in 2013. There's nothing that says you have to be announced before Labor Day the year before. We've got a long way to go before the next, before a year plus from now's August primary, mm-hmm. and then another several months before a general election.
And to pull back the curtain a little bit on one of the favorite talking points, that, you know, the gotcha moment for the lieutenant governor, that are like, she had posted something to YouTube and it was listed as secret until it was time to announce. That's how YouTube works, yeah. is that you create videos that you may or may not want to make public. You list them as private until you're ready to release them or delete them. And like you said, she was ready to go. Yeah. So that when it was just a matter of unchecking that private box, so to have it ready ahead of time isn't the gotcha moment that some folks think it is.
No, it speaks to, I think, the kind of leader Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez is, which is somebody who is strategic and looks out along the horizon and tries to figure out what's coming up. That's the kind of strategic thinking and vision you want from somebody in an executive position. So she did a great job. It's a fantastic announcement video. Like, I think it turned a lot of heads, because let's be honest, Lieutenant Governor is not the highest profile position in the state. You are not in the newspaper every single day. There are, you know, there's lots of attention on you during the campaign, and then you are sort of, you know, a little bit more behind the scenes. Now, Rodriguez has been out there working her tail off for the last two and a half, three years. But this was the first time that a lot of people really got to see her. And I think they saw someone who's dynamic, someone who has a real sense of who they are and what they want to do, and the capacity to communicate what we're fighting for every single day. And that's what it takes to be successful in today's political environment. So I thought a really nice job by her. And in the week since, she has started to get some of that political ridiculousness. And she is doing exactly what you want to see, which is she's not taking any crap. She's punching back against nonsense from the right. And I think a really, really strong start to the campaign for Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez.
And by the way, the nonsense, and I've used up most of my firepower in the 6 a.m. hour of the show when I went after the folks who, again, were saying, well, her husband, you know, undocumented? Shut up. He's a naturalized American citizen. And while Trump and others may be, you know, talking out loud about taking away people's naturalized citizenship, A, they can't do it. B, shame on you. C, naturalized citizens, by and large, are more qualified American voters than a whole lot of people who were born as citizens, given the hoops that they wanted to jump through, the work that they did. And so for anybody who's already going with that smear, you know, never mind everything that I just said about how low that is. The lieutenant governor's response was something along the lines of, that's not going to lower anybody's grocery bill. That's not going to do anything substantive for the voter. And that's exactly the kind of perspective to put on this.
Yeah, she's hit every note in the first week. And now we sort of see who else is on the list of thinking about it and getting ready to go. And she will not be the only candidate, but it's a question of how many other people jump in and how quickly they do so.
Yeah. And one more note that the Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez, will be joining us at 8:05 tomorrow here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Looking forward to the visit. And again, as more candidates get into the race, we are looking forward to talking to all of them, so that folks who take part in this primary and all the other primaries feel like they're making an informed decision. Because you and I both know how big these fields can get. You can get eight candidates on the ballot and you go, I don't know, how do I pick from one of these? Well, we try to talk to them one by one by one. And with the lieutenant governor running, that gives us a chance to mention that in Wisconsin, you don't run as running mates until after the primary. You get stuck with, to put it bluntly, your running mate, because people run separately for lieutenant governor And then the winner of the gubernatorial primary and the winner of the lieutenant governor primary, now they run together as a ticket in November. And it is it's not a mystery that there have been governors in the past who had a first choice for lieutenant governor, but that person didn't win the primary, and so they got a lieutenant governor that was not their first choice.
Yeah, and I am old enough to remember some of that. It's a quirky way to do it, but it's the way we've got. I am looking forward to a robust start to the gubernatorial primary for the remainder of 2025. I would throw out a note of caution to folks who are considering running for lieutenant governor, which is, let's see how the top of the ticket race is shaping up before everybody just rushes into this thing. Because there is some strategery involved when it comes to what the ticket should look like, or there ought to be. And you don't need to run for lieutenant governor for 450 days before an August primary. I hope that the rest of this calendar year is about beginning to see first impressions from the gubernatorial candidates and seeing who is kind of rising to the top. And then we should start the conversation about who's going to run for lieutenant governor, in my view.
That's a great way of putting it. And to remind folks again about, you know, who gets on the ballot and how do you get on the ballot. Anybody can say they're a candidate right now. You can say it all you want, but the way you get on the ballot is collecting so many signatures on what's called a nominating petition. And you can't start circulating those until April 15th of next year, and you turn them in on June 1st of next year by 5 p.m. So it's at 5:01 p.m. on June 1st that we will actually know who is a real candidate for governor and for all these other things. There's no rush. Nobody's collecting signatures anytime soon here. So I really like the perspective you're putting on this, is to have the long view on this kind of thing.
Yeah, and listen, and we should have a robust debate about who we want to lead our party. That stands in contrast to what Senator Ron Johnson thinks should happen on the Republican Party, which is, he doesn't think there should be a primary. What he's saying is, by the end of this year, the Republican candidates for governor should get into a room, he didn't say whether he wants it to be smoke-filled or not, and just decide who's going to be the candidate. And I just think that's a great illustration of the ways in which the Republican Party rightly gets questioned these days when it comes to their commitment to democracy and letting people decide. On the Democratic side, there's not going to be any, you know, smoke-filled or otherwise back room. There's going to be a number of candidates who go out and make what I hope is a proactive case, and don't spend months tearing one another down, because this moment we find ourselves in is way too important for that. We need to ensure that whoever the Democratic nominee is emerges from the primary ready to run strong in the fall. We've got to keep our eyes on the prize.
We're talking to Joe Zepecki. Local update is next for some of you. For others, Joe and I will continue to ramble on here until the top of the hour. But in the few seconds I've got left, I see you wearing a Brewers cap. So you did not burn it and get rid of all of your other Brewers memorabilia simply by losing to the Cubs yesterday. You didn't say, that's it. It's over.
A lot of baseball left. I'm liking where we're at.
As well you should. So 2 out of 3, the Brewers are off today. They're heading to Washington. They will be taking on the Nationals, and game one of that series is tomorrow. 5:10, the pregame tomorrow on Civic Media Stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. And tomorrow is a free ticket Friday. We're going to provide a keyword. You text that keyword to us on the Civic Media app. If you can get tickets delivered to your phone and use them electronically, those will be tickets to the next week against the New York Mets at American Family Field. So stick around for free ticket Friday tomorrow. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It's time for the Summertime Quiz. Today's contestant is from just south of the Cheese Factory, off the trail near the tavern. Here's Stu Sample. Stu, are you ready?
You betcha.
This object can be found throughout central Wisconsin all summer long. It's private. You can use it for one or two things, And it's a great place to think or read. Name this summer object.
It's one of them porta potties from Crockett Septic.
That's right, Stu. You win. Now, go cop a comfortable squat. For clean, reliable, affordable porta potty this summer, give Crockett Septic a call. 715-712-3456.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Hold and take septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you, too. They'll pump away that stinky, nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years, and we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
They're out for a child. And every one of these great businesses and groups really deserve that. They need more and more good people in there and stuff. So that's a great win-win right there. There's the other side, too, of this, of individuals that have experiences with these different groups, these different things, for maybe not the greatest reasons. I know that I've touched on this before in my family and our past, and we're all on the right side of the tracks now and everything, but it didn't start out that way. And when I was a little kid, having some negative experiences got me as a teenager and as an adult to be a little hesitant to reach out when my family or I needed help. And that has changed and grown since then, of course, and everything. And I've talked with Sheriff Becker about this a lot over the years. But that's something that It took me being away from here and coming back to really understand some of those things. It took me having kids to understand those things. We don't want it to take that. We want to build those bridges right now. And there is no getting around that our society is better and stronger when our kids feel safer. There's just no getting around that. And I think the job of all adults, whether you're in law enforcement or not, is to make that happen, is to make that, whether you have kids or not, whether your kids are like mine and then they're 20s and all that and don't even need you anymore or anything, that's a good thing to do. This event really helps make that happen. This event is a really big part of that.
And I agree with you. Like you said earlier, you don't know what that spark could be. Mm-hmm. It could just be that going up to somebody and saying, hey, how you doing? I always introduce myself by first name. When I'm working, I'm not Officer McHugh. I'm Matt from the police department. And that really lightens the mood and mm-hmm. dialogue when we talk to people. And really what it comes down to is a lot of people just need someone to listen to them. And that's extremely important. And whether it's at an event like this or just in everyday patrol work like I do, it's important to listen to people and show that empathy no matter what situation they're going through, because you truly don't know what kind of day somebody's having. And it's very important to have that relationship with somebody.
It's something we ask of the individuals in these groups that we're talking about here. And I hope that the community, I hope the audience out there takes it on themselves as well to do the same for them. And understand that they are human beings, that they are doing a job. And you don't know what they had going on their day and what they have going on. Everybody's trying to work for the same thing, trying to solve whatever is happening right here and trying to make our community safer. There is no downside to that. There are no bad sides. This is only a positive. And it can only become stronger with the more and more people that attend. So I want to make sure that you make plans to be there Wednesday, August 6th, 3 to 6, over at Witterfield. Head on over there and take in some of these cool vehicles that are around there. If you have questions, feel free to ask them. You'll be able to talk to officers and people in the departments straight up right there. You're going to get some good food, so bring your appetite. Make sure to do that. And bring the kids. We want the kids coming down. We want whole families down. You certainly are welcome to come down individually and all that and bring your friends or what have you. But it's a real family event. One other thing that I love about this event, too, and I get to touch on this from time to time lately, we are having less and less opportunities for strangers and strangers standing next to each other and having a good time, you know, whether it's going to the movies or taking in a ball game or something like that. We don't have enough of these opportunities in life, and so many of the bonds and friendships are created that way, of just running into somebody and like, hey, I like that shirt. You root for that team, too? And you get to know each other, and all of a sudden, and that also strengthens our community and makes it safer. These things, I think a lot of the time, coming back to this, the hesitancy or the fear of things, it just comes from not knowing. Mm-hmm. Best way to know is to do it.
Yep.
Yeah, do it. Come on down, have a good time, and have some fun with this. I wanted to wrap up here, and I didn't necessarily talk about this in our pregame, Matt, but I couldn't help myself, and we're talking here and everything. You yourself are somebody that spark happened for. You didn't necessarily start out with law enforcement in mind. It was something that came to you later. Without prying too much or anything like that, how did that spark happen for you?
So just a little bit of background. I'm from Wisconsin Rapids. Wisconsin Rapids, born and raised for pretty much the first half of my life. And I actually grew up in Plover during adolescence, okay. But my family's always been in Rapids. Talking about those good community relationships, especially with not knowing, I recall one time way back in the early 2000s, I was playing out in my yard in Rapids here, and a couple of Rapids police officers stopped by, and that was back when they would hand out baseball cards or Packer cards.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just that interaction with them, it sat with me to this day. I can remember it vividly. That was something that was big for me to say, hey, I can trust these people. They're approachable. And from there on out, I remembered that. Getting into law enforcement, I didn't want to be a police officer my entire life. I actually wanted to go into radio and broadcasting, which is interesting why we're sitting here today.
The symmetry of that, you know.
Right, right. I did a ride-along when I was 16 years old, just starting off in high school, actually with a state trooper. And just given my skill set and knowing what I was good at and my communication with people, I thought that could translate really well into the career field. And that's how I decided to stick with law enforcement and dedicate my career to that.
I appreciate you sharing that, man. Thank you. One, you really note some things that lead to this happening and really giving evidence to a lot of what we're talking about here today. But as a side note, I also just think it's really cool to hear that. I imagine that doing the job itself is very rewarding, feels very good. Doing it in your hometown, that's a whole other level. To do something like that. I can't think of many more higher callings than that. And that is pretty darn cool, man. And we appreciate that. Appreciate you being a part of things. And we are definitely going to work those radio skills of yours. We're going to find uses for them, definitely. But thank you for joining us again, Matt. I appreciate the time. One more time, let's remind everybody the date and time for the National Night Out.
So it's going to be Wednesday, August 6th from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Witterfield in Wisconsin Rapids here. Bring the kids, bring the family. It is a welcoming family event. It's going to really showcase how we have a strong community and partnerships with everybody around Wisconsin Rapids. So we look forward to seeing you there and appreciate you having me on the show, James. Thank you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you. And I encourage you to go ahead and go to the Facebook, type in there National Night Out Wisconsin Rapids. You'll be able to keep up to date and everything. And it gives you a nice reminder about it. Also, we'll keep you letting them know how many people might be attending and some of that. Share it on your Facebook pages as well. That way other people might see it. You just never know who might. And sure, be sure to spread the word about the Rapids Report being brought to you by Crockett Septic here at WFHR.com.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Two sources tell CBS News President Trump and Mexico's Claudia Sheinbaum are expected to speak a day before his tariff deadline. It comes on the heels of a 15% deal with South Korea. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
A 15% rate, it sounds better than 25 or 50. But remember, if this really holds across all of these trading partners, this would be the highest tariff rate since the 1930s.
An arrest in the murders of a couple who'd been hiking with their two young children in an Arkansas state park. Police Colonel Mike Hager.
Because of their hard work and investigative skill, we were able to take a monster off the streets and bring relief to Clinton and Kristen's precious girls.
A funeral service in New York right now for a police officer among four killed in a mass shooting at a city office building. CBS's Christina Phan.
Officer Islam is being remembered as a dedicated police officer, a husband, and a father who was about to welcome his third child.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.